Good morning. The scripture readings for today are taken from Genesis and Hebrews. The first one is Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 9, and I'll be reading from the NIV, the New International Version. So Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 9. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. And I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there, he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There, he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. And the second reading is from the New Testament, from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and verses 8 to 16. Hebrews 11, verses 8 to 16. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children, because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. May God speak to us through the reading of his word this morning.
So we're going to start a new series. Well, really, last week we were sort of introducing it, but this week we're going to start into it with a vengeance, which is looking at the journey of Abraham. And I guess I could call this series Abraham, a Journey of Faith, because it's really about how you express and walk in terms of your faith. And as we start 2020, That whole question of your faith and how you live it out. And we're going to look at Abraham and how he did that, because Abraham is held up as an example of the living out of faith. I was saying to somebody earlier, I really like the fact that the writer to the Hebrews basically preaches a whole series of mini sermons in relation to Abraham in chapter 12 of Hebrews that we read. The letter to the Hebrews is probably a series of sermons anyway. And what he's doing there is he's actually providing us a commentary on the story of Abraham in Genesis. So he's kind of done the work for me, because he's taken the stories and applied them in Hebrews chapter 11. And he applies them in terms of this journey of faith. What's the journey of faith? Well, the journey of faith is where you are in a place believing for something, but recognizing that the reality around you doesn't conform to it. And so you have this tension. And in fact, the journey of faith is all about a journey where you encounter obstacles and you encounter things that just don't resonate with where you believe God should be. I was talking with someone this week as part of our church, and they'd experienced a deep tragedy in their life. And as you discuss that, you just sort of said, God, what are you doing here? You know, how does this make any sense in terms of what we believe, what we teach, in terms of the things that you describe in the Bible? God, surely our experience should be that of health, wealth, and happiness. And that's how it should be. And as we go into 2020, that's where we should be living. Yet the story of Abraham tells us that actually the reality is very different from that. And that we live with, the dissonance. It means what we believe and what is are not conforming to one another. And it's in that space, in that gap, that we begin to live and walk the journey of faith. And Abraham is held up as an individual who provides us an example of that. And as we enter 2020, we have to maybe go on that journey of faith. And for some of you, it may be a big journey at the moment, because there may be many things in your life which just don't resonate with the things that maybe you were taught, the things that you learned, that the way that you think things should be. And yet you're called to journey in terms of faith. This journey of faith for Abraham began with a call. It began with God speaking to Abraham. It's interesting that the narrative of Abraham, and we'll look at it as we go, really is based around a series of things that God speaks into his life. And the question that each of these confronts Abraham with is, will you trust and believe God based on what he has said? That's an interesting thing. It's like, do you actually believe what God has said? And are you willing to live according to that, even if the external things around you don't line up with it? Oh, that's all I got. Because it's easy. You see, when we say, become a Christian, follow God, and then everything's great. That's a no-brainer. That's easy, isn't it? Reasonably. You go, wow. See? Follow God and you will have success. One of the things that, and I kind of grew up in the 80s and 90s, and over Christmas and New Year, sort of watching old movies. And it's always funny as you watch movies from the 80s and 90s. Because, you know, this was in the years where we believed things can only get better. And that we're just going to, it's just going to be a story of the graph going from the bottom left-hand corner to the top right-hand corner in a nice straight line. And we're going to be wealthier and happier and more satisfied than any generation before. And that's the way it's going to be. Since then, things haven't really worked out like that. One of the things that so challenged me on my recent trip to Iraq, when I met with the Christians who were living in northern Iraq, was that they believed, although their circumstances were totally rubbish, and they believed, although they saw no particular light at the end of the tunnel for their circumstances. You know, this week as we watch the bombings and killings in Iraq that have been taking place, you know, I was praying ardently for those Christians that I met in that community in northern Iraq. But, you know, as I was praying for them, I realized, you know, they're not going to be sitting there going, oh, no, the world has come to an end. It's horrendous for us. They're going to be saying, we continue to believe our God despite our sufferings. And it's something I think as a church in the West that we can maybe learn from the suffering church in the Middle East. It's interesting that the journey of Abraham took him very close to many of these places. Here in chapter 12 of Genesis, the story of Abraham begins. And it begins with God speaking. I think any journey of faith has to begin with that. Has to begin with God speaking. You think about how you become a Christian. And if you think about your own conversion experience, it begins with a word from God into your life. I got an invite last year from someone who lives quite close to Kippen and seems to be a fairly wealthy individual, and he decided that he had this big house. It would be really nice to invite all the ministers from the area to come around and have a nice meal. It was a delicious meal. It was a wonderful thing to do. And he had no other agenda than, let's just get the ministers together and bless them. And so this invite came through, and I was like, oh, I don't really know what to make of this. But there was a free meal involved, so I was interested. And so we went along to it. And it was the most amazing evening. We were all sitting around on this great big long table. And we've kind of, these are the ministers that we interact with and we see every so often in the coffee shops when we're there having coffee as well. As he started, he began with a prayer. And then he said, you know what we're going to do as we eat this meal? He said, we're going to go around the table at different points in the course of the meal. And I want you to tell a story of how you came to faith or of how you were called into ministry. And we went around this room, there was about 22 of us, and plus partners, and everybody shared. And it was the most amazing thing ever. And you think, that's pretty simple. You should try it one night, actually. Here's a chance for 2:20, have a dinner party with a bunch of people and get them to share their stories of how they came to faith or how they were led into ministry. It was phenomenal. You see, and suddenly you realize that all of this activity that was happening in Stirling and in our community, all of these people who were giving up their lives to serve Christ, it began with a word from God. God spoke into their lives. And the amazing thing about it was, as you heard these stories, was that God didn't speak in any uniform way. God spoke in all kinds of ways. I was a little embarrassed to tell them that actually my call was based around a golf magazine. But anyway, that's another story. But God spoke in all kinds of ways to individuals. And here we see God appearing to Abraham. And it says, the Lord had said to Abraham. The start of this story is quite stark, because from chapters 1 through 11, we have this narrative of the human race. And we have this narrative of the human race turning its back on God and the consequences of that. of them usurping God, of actually finding themselves in a place and a position where they deny God. And that's the story of Genesis 1 through 11. And then it says that this God that we've just been reading about, the creator God who has been usurped by his creation, speaks to Abraham. And suddenly it all starts to change. And literally the rest of the narrative of the story of the Bible changes from Genesis chapter 12 onwards. Because God speaks. And he speaks to Abraham. And here's the thing. As we start into 2:20, it's so important that we know the voice of God speaking into our life. Now, some of you are going, well, I haven't sensed God speak to me in a very long time. You know, I'm not even sure God has ever really spoken to me. So how am I going to do that? And if you're in that situation, here's my challenge for you in 2:20. Go back to the last time that you knew God speak into your life. You know, the old joke that goes, guy's driving around in Ireland and he's lost. And so he stops for directions and he says, can you point me in the direction to Dublin? And he went, if I was going to Dublin, I wouldn't start from here. And it's a little bit like that for some of us. I remember Brian Suter, the head of Stagecoach, whose company had ran into a bit of a roadblock. He talked about in business when they had kind of lost their way a little bit. He said, you know what? And you have to go back to when you last knew where you were. And it's the same sometimes spiritually. Sometimes you have to go back to when you last knew God speaking to you. And if you're there this morning in 2:20, just go back to that last point where you last heard God. Maybe it was a call. Maybe it was to do something. Maybe it was to become a Christian. Maybe it was to serve God in a particular way. Maybe it was to do something that you never did. But when did you last hear God speak to you? And return to that point if you feel that God can't speak to you at the moment at the start of 2:20. Because the journey of faith begins with the word of God spoken into our lives and taking hold of that. And here we see Abraham responding to God. The Lord, in verse 1, the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I shall show you. First thing that the journey of faith involves is it usually involves change. It involved letting go of the things that he defined as his security. We're not entirely sure how the journey worked, but Genesis 12 introduces us to a place called Haran, which is in northern Syria. In fact, it's part of Turkey nowadays because of the way the lines got drawn at the start of the 20th century. But Haran sits there, and this is where Abraham was. We're not entirely sure how long he had been there, or if this is like a two-part journey, or whether Ur is actually in southern Babylon. But anyway, whatever, there may have been an earlier journey that he had taken part in. Maybe his family had moved. But here they were settled in Haran. And the word of God says, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. So he went and obeyed, but it required giving up something. You know, have you ever seen a dog with a bone or a child with a toy? You know how we had a toddler visit us over Christmas, and you know, they'll race around and they'll grab things that they shouldn't grab. You ever notice that? And then they'll hold on for dear life to the things that they shouldn't be having. And you're like, how do we get this off them? And oftentimes what you have to do is you have to persuade them with something that's better for them, like a teddy or something. Here's a soft toy. Let go of the knife and take the soft toy. And I go, oh, okay. And they'll grab the soft toy and they'll forget about the knife. See, it sometimes this is like us. The reason we don't live where God wants us to live is because we're holding so tightly on to the things that denote our security that we never actually release them to enter and open up the space to the new things that God has for us. Remember last week I said that all of us are called to have a distinctive influence, and that you in 2020 will have an influence that no one else can have. And that influence may be over an individual, it may be over a situation, maybe over your family, but you will have the potential to have an influence that other people around you will not have the potential to have an influence. And the way that you begin to see that influence is when you respond to God's word and say, okay, I'm willing to let go now in order to move into what you have for me. It involved change. The second thing that we see, and this is the point that the writer to the Hebrews makes, is that he didn't know where he was going. Now, for some people, this is horrible. For all the control freaks here. You know, I once went on holiday with someone to Venice, and their concept of sort of traveling was, let's not look at a map. Let's just wander and see what happens. And you know, we would usually end up at a sewage farm or something as we did this. And I was like, no, this is terrible. This is such a bad idea. We're going to waste so much time. There's so much to see. We need a plan. We need a destination. We need a route. This is before mobile phones and Google, but we need Google, and we need to know exactly where we're going and how we're getting there. And yet here Abraham is asked to trust God, although he didn't know where it was going. You know, sometimes in life, we sit and we face situations. We face experiences where we just don't know. It's like we look at these and we think, where's this taking us? What is God doing here? And we're faced with just these kind of imponderable questions. And it's like, God, you could give us some answers here. It would be really useful to know how the story works itself out. It would be really useful to know how you're going to get us out of this one. It would be really useful to know. And God says nothing. So here was Abraham in a situation where it was like, I'm asking you to give up your security and head in a direction that I'm roughly pointing you in without actually knowing the outcome or where I'm taking you. I'm sure Abraham must have had a dialogue and go, you know, God, don't you understand? I'm giving up all this stuff. Can't you at least give me a hint? And God says no. And you sit there and go, why, God? Why do you say no? Why is this so important? Because God wants Abraham to learn about faith. See, faith is like a muscle. And for any of us who go down to the gym or think about going to the gym, you'll know that if you work out, what happens is that muscles grow stronger as you exercise them. And that's how you build them. And it's the same with faith. Faith becomes stronger as we exercise it. And we are asked to exercise faith in terms of the future. God says, are you willing to trust me in terms of where I'm leading you? Are you willing to trust me enough that you're willing to let go of this stuff that you build your security around in order to believe that I have your future? See, one of the things that we often do is we affirm a faith in God, but we actually live ultimately as atheists. You see, there is no point. It's kind of like we hedge our bets. Not that any of you will know what that is, but we hedge our bets. We kind of say, you know, oh yeah, we've got faith and we believe in God, but we're hanging on to all the security and the markers just in case God doesn't come through. And that way we get both, don't we? And yet, the journey of faith requires that we let go in order to move to where God wants us to be, even if we don't know where that journey will ultimately take us. The third thing I want to observe about this story is that as we recounted the narrative, we see Abraham being called by God. We see Abraham starting out on a journey, although he doesn't know where God is ultimately taking him. And then we see a very interesting comment. It tells us that he was 75 years of age. He was kind of old. The writer to the Hebrews, and again, no offense to us who are older, but he actually uses a lovely phrase. I don't think the guy that was preaching the sermon was very subtle, but he said, although Abraham was half dead, or virtually dead, that's what he says in Hebrews 11 if you read it. He was virtually dead. You know, he was picking out his tombstone. He was planning his funeral. That's where Abraham was, according to the writer to the Hebrews. And yet, God uses him. And the writer of the Hebrews says, although Abraham was at this point where most people would say, well, you know, basically, you've lived your life. It's time to pass the baton on. It's time to recognize that, you know, you've done your innings. God says, no, actually, there is no retirement, there is no age limit in the kingdom of God. And that the call to live out faith and the call to be an influence and the call to be someone who makes a difference is not age specific. You know, oftentimes you'll hear individuals do these talks to young graduates, and the whole story of the graduate is, oh yeah, go out, make a difference, change the world and everything. And you'll often see it in the movies you were watching over Christmas and New Year, and everybody thinks, oh wow, brilliant to be young and have that potential and just have that. But here in the narrative, the point that is being made is that actually God took a 75-year-old man, someone that the writer to Hebrews said was virtually dead, and he birthed a nation. You know, one of the amazing things is that this narrative is 4,000 years old, roughly. We had the picture of the pyramids because it was happening at the time of the pyramids. And it's roughly that long that this happened. And here's the thing, 4,000 years later, after this Bedouin nomadic individual started his journey in a place called Haran, and I've been to Haran, and it's not, in fact, we've got a picture of Haran, it's not that exciting. Here's the thing, 4,000 years later, more than 4 billion people on the planet Earth looked to Abraham as the father of their faith. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that amazing? And this only started when he was 75. It's like, what? God, couldn't you have done it when he was 30 or 20? See, it was about faith. And a lot of us, particularly as you get older, need to change the way that we think. We need to recognize that the calling of God is as vital when you're 75 as when you're 25. You have to recognize that your potential to influence through faith is as great as when you're 75. through 25. I know humanly speaking, you'll go, well, that's not true. But in terms of God, and here's the thing, 2020, God may have something phenomenal for you. And he may have something phenomenal for you, and he may be calling you to have an influence, even if you're older. And that's not just young people speak, that's for all of us to hear. The story of Abraham. He was 75, yet God used him. Lastly, Abraham received a promise. He was called to live by faith, but he didn't see instant results. And here's the thing. You sort of hear a talk like this and you think, let's go out, let's attack 2020, let's make it the best year that we've ever had. I remember someone was asked, what was the best year of your life? An older person, what was the best year of your life? And their reply was, the next one. And I like that mentality. I always pray I will have that mentality. What is the best year of my life? 2020. And maybe we'll approach this year with that kind of attitude. This is going to be the best year of my life. But you see, it doesn't turn out that way. And there are all kinds of roadblocks, all kinds of disappointments, all kinds of frustrations as you enter this year. And here's the thing. It's where the muscle of faith kicks in. See, Abraham sets out in his journey, and you're going to see as we read some of the stories, there are all kinds of setbacks and confusing things and things that we don't understand and why God did this and why it worked out that way. And Abraham made some really bad decisions en route. And yet he was called to hold on to the promise, to the call that God had a purpose for him and that he was going to have a unique influence and impact. And as we go into 2020, my challenge to every single one of us here is that we should journey in terms of faith. That we should be a people who understand the call of God. That we follow that call and that promise, even though we don't necessarily know exactly how it will work out. That we don't give up on it, especially on age-related grounds. And we hang on to the promise of God. Even if we don't see things instantaneously changing, but we believe our God is greater than anything that comes upon us in this year. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the example of Abraham. We thank you for the way that he embodied and lived out his faith. And I just pray that as we come to 2020, that we will have that boldness. Lord, I ask if we are holding on to things in our life that are not allowing us to enter into that journey, that are hindering us, Lord, that we would just be willing to release those things, to live out your call. Lord, I pray that if we've put barriers in the way of those calls, particularly if we think that we're too old to have an influence or make an impact, Lord, I pray that we would just recognize that sort of thinking for what it is, which is a lie from the enemy. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be faithful and hold on to the promise, even if we don't see its immediate realization. Lord, I ask this in your name. Amen.
Hello. Oh, there we go. We're going to sing a song in response to that, and the kids are going to come back and join the parents during this song. We're going to go into the section on covenant after this, so look out for your kids as they join us, and we'll also take the offering during this song, please. Let's stand.